All right, we're turning to the book, New Testament, book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16. And we're going to read the first 12 verses where it says this. It's entitled, we're going to read kind of two sections. The one is a demand for a sign, and then again, the yeast of Pharisees and Sadducees. And again, that's kind of sets the tone of this passage. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. And he replied, when evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you can't interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Jesus then left them and went away. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They discussed this among themselves and said, it's because we didn't bring any bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, oh, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many basketfuls you gathered, or the 7 loaves for the 4,000, and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard themselves against yeast used in bread, but against the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This is the word of God. Last week, again, we began this journey of Lent and the Lenten season. And I had mentioned that we're going to look at this kind of word of bread and how it fits into Scripture and how it fits into this story of Christ, and again, headed towards Easter. And last week we began with the idea of gluten-free living. We discussed that component of bread called gluten that makes that bread so chewy and kind of moist and pulling apart. And I talked about how, you know, there's nothing better than when you pull that loaf of bread out of the oven and it's warm, and you put some real butter on it and you mush it around and it's all chewy. And, oh, even if when you, like, bite it and it kind of runs down your face a little bit because there's so much butter. And, oh, it's so good. And yet Jesus says that's not the bread that we live by. And we can live gluten-free lives. Well, this week we look at this thing called yeast. Or in some translations it talks about leaven, which is the same idea of this yeast thing. It was early on in the history of humanity that people figured out that there was some kind of a process, a living process that took place with this leaven stuff. That when you put it in with sugar or you put it in with flour and you mix some form of liquid in it, that suddenly there was a process taking place. And there was some kind of a life-giving thing that was going on. Later on, we found out what really happened, and that there's a living organism, and that living organism is eating some of the pieces of that bread mixture. And then as they eat it, they give off this kind of a gas, and that gas causes your dough, your bread dough, to rise, to expand. That's what we're looking at. What is it that kind of puffs up the dough of bread? What is it that puts some air in the dough of bread? What is it that causes it to rise? Well, it's the yeast. It's the leaven. And yet, when we look at our passage, we see something kind of a little different. We see that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they wanted to trip Jesus up. Once again, we hit this point within Jesus' ministry where the leaders of the established church, the religion of the day, they really wanted to trip him up. And so they go after Jesus, trying to prove that they're smarter, that they're right, that he's nothing but another kind of prophet and nothing more than that. Surely not the Son of God, as he would say. But they wanted to discredit him. Then you had the followers. You had the disciples. You had some other stragglers along. And they were listening to what was going on. And the only thing they could think of is, golly, we forgot to bring bread. Here we are going across the lake. Here we are going someplace where maybe we don't know. Here we go where there isn't a Meijer's store. There isn't a 7-Eleven. And we've got no bread. And now Jesus says, hey, you forgot. And we're really in trouble. And all they can think about is the idea of their existence on this earth. All they can think about is their stomachs. All they can think about is their food. All they can think about is how are they going to make it the next day. And they can't see beyond themselves. And then we get to what Jesus is trying to teach them. And really, Jesus lays out a warning. And the warning is, what is your leaven? What is your yeast? As you live your life, as we live our lives on this planet, what is it that fills you up? What is it that puffs you up, not in a proud way, but in a healthy way? What is it that brings that air into the mixture, that rise to your life and personality? What fills you up? That's what Jesus is asking his disciples. And that's what the scripture is asking each of us today. What is it that we turn to that would fill us? I mean, it's very obvious in this passage where Jesus says, be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We get that, but what's he really talking about? Well, he's talking about the fact that the Pharisees and the Sadducees are looking at their wisdom. They're looking at their religious system. They're looking at their power. They're looking at their control. They're looking at the system that they've established. And that is their yeast. It isn't about a living God that we've been talking about with a story. It isn't about a God who from the very beginning has been crying out, trying to have a relationship with humanity like we've learned in the story. But it's about a system. It's about a bunch of rules and regulations. It's about this wisdom or these, again, teachings that they have made. And that's the yeast that Jesus warns his people about. And again, as we look at our lives today, are we in danger of being more followers of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Or of Jesus? Again, do we look more to religion? And do we look more to tradition? And do we look more to rules or regulations? Or do we look to a living God? A God that is yeast within us, is leaven that produces life, that expands us, that puffs us up, that builds us up. Which kind of yeast, again, do we want? What is it that is our yeast and our leaven? When I thought about it, I thought about a couple of months ago in football season. I mean, I knew that these things existed for Christmas, and I get a little irritated with them. But I didn't know they existed for football teams. And one day I was driving down the road, and it was right after the Lions had collapsed yet again, sorry to say, all right? And here was one of these little blow-up people in the front yard of somebody's house. You know what I mean? You know, they run on a little fan, blows, and then they, you know, it's all material. And here's this little Detroit Lion figure. And he's kind of blown up in the front yard, you know. He's all puffed up and he's all... But what was cool about this one was after it was clear the Lions had lost and it was clear that they were out of the playoffs, I don't know if there was a problem with this guy's fan or with his circulation or what, but he was kind of like, ooh. And it was perfect. It was just fitting to say, yeah, there you go. The Lions did it again. They're kind of deflated. What puffs us up? What is it that turns the fan on high so that we are standing up tall? So that we are, again, full of grace and full of love and full of the ministry of Christ. Well, it's not what the Pharisees and the Sadducees had to offer. And it's not what religion and what, my wife tells me this still isn't a word, what religiosity does for us, all right? It's about a personal relationship with a living God that fills us up. That is our yeast. But again, you got to understand, the human beings around him didn't get it either. They were looking for things. They thought if they had the bread, that's what Jesus was talking about. Earlier, we've read that, you know, again, they think about it's bread that fills them up, not the bread of heaven. Throughout Scripture, we find out that the disciples and others always seem to relate the Messiah to something of this world. That the Messiah would be a king. That the Messiah would be powerful. The Messiah would be a ruler. The Messiah would have the yeast of this world. And yet Jesus makes it clear again, that is not the right leaven either. That is not the right yeast either. That might fill you up in a temporary sense, but it'll let you down in the long run. And so we have to ask ourselves again, if we're not getting what the Sadducees and the Pharisees have to offer, are we people who seek the things of this world as our yeast, as our leaven? Well, if I have enough money, then I will be full. If I have enough power, then I will be full. If my name is something and people speak of me always, I will be something. It is this world and the things of this world that puff me up, that fill me up. That's my yeast. Sadly, just like the little Detroit Lion yard figure, the same is true. That eventually the things of this world and this life let you deflate. Let you fall to the ground like a bunch of material, flat on the grass, no air, no life, no nothing, and the yeast is gone, and the leaven is gone. And so again, it just doesn't work. What Jesus says is that when it comes to the leaven in your life, what comes to the yeast that we need to take hold of, it's the power of God. And in a very simple way, without saying, believe in my Father, without getting real judgmental, what does Jesus do in this passage? He says, don't you remember? Don't you remember when we needed that fish, when we needed that food? When we had 5,000, 4,000, we only had some small loaves, we had baskets left over because of the power of God, because of the living God acting and moving amongst us, something amazing happened. And in that moment, we were filled. In that moment, the yeast began to bubble. The yeast began to give off that gas. The yeast began to fill up and let God's people rise because of the power of God, because of a living God, because of a God who wants to walk with us and care for us through all things. Jesus is saying, don't worry about the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus is saying, don't worry about your stomachs. Get close to the living God. Remember how God has walked with us throughout history. Remember that God wants a relationship with us. Remember that God can do amazing things if we let Him be the yeast, be the leaven of our lives. I still remember a TV personality telling a story, and I just love it because, again, we look at, again, people on TV and popular people as so, again, above and so superhuman. And it was a news anchor, Diane Sawyer. I don't know if you remember the name or not. And, she would do these news specials. And somebody was interviewing, talking to her about her life. And she told this story. And, it made me think a lot more of her for whatever it's worth. But she talked about being up early on a given morning and how she was running through Central Park to get her workout in. And as she was running through Central Park, she kind of took a break and she was kind of stretching and then she was kind of sweaty and all messed up. And all of a sudden, somebody came up to her and tapped her on the shoulder and pointed to a group of people that they were with and handed her camera. And she kind of looked and thought, really? My picture? Now I'm all gross. But she's like, okay, let's take the picture. And the person, and so she grabs the camera and she walks over into amongst about five people as she told the story. And she holds the camera out like this to kind of do the selfie thing, you know? And all of a sudden, all the people kind of stood back from her and looked at her. And the gentleman who had come up to her, and the gentleman looked at her and went, I want you to take our picture. She said, I walked in there thinking, I thought they wanted me. And suddenly I realized they had no clue who I was. They had no idea who I was. She said, I kind of sulked all down like this, and I took their picture and I walked away crushed because I wasn't as good as I thought I was. If we look at the things of this world, we tend to deflate. If we think that they're going to lift us up, we tend to deflate. What's our yeast? Is it that wisdom and power of the Pharisees? Is it the things of this world? Or is it the living God? Now, most commentators are done right there. That's it for this passage, right? I could be done, we could move on. But something bothered me as I looked and reflected and read about this passage and about you and me. Because I think there's a question in this passage that is equally important as what is your leaven, what is your yeast? And the question is this. What kind of yeast are you and me? What kind of leaven are you and me? When you look at your life, when you look at your family, when you look at your workplace, maybe you look at school, maybe you look at a team that you're on, maybe an organization you're part of, when you move into that group, what do you bring? As people stir you into their lives, what do you bring? As people bring you in, do you fill them up? Do you help to puff them up and stand up strong? Do you bring air? Do you bring life? Or are you the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Are we the yeast of the world and of the world offers? I think it's important to ask the question, what kind of yeast, what kind of leaven are we? Again, if you take that image of that little blow-up person in the front yard, are you the kind of person that makes sure the fan is blowing good and the air current's good, or are you the one that sits there by the outlet and goes, you know, this is kind of dumb, and you unplug it, and the person kind of deflates for a while. Oh, you know, plug them back in for a little bit. What do you bring to the conversation? What do you bring to the lives of others? Are we, number one, being filled and built up by the yeast of a living God? Number two, are we that same yeast? Kind of like friendship bread, right? You start out and you break it apart and you give it away, and part of that process is letting it rise and bubble and grow. And then you give it to somebody else. Are we giving them good yeast? Or are we tearing people down? So what is it today? What's your leaven? What's your yeast? And what kind of yeast are we? I thought about the title. And again, when I thought about it, I thought, okay, sourdough bread, you know. I thought, here's this little play on words that, you know, the yeast, you know, okay, great. The Pharisees, they're kind of sour. So sourdough, you know, yeast, sourdough, Pharisees. Then as I thought about it, I thought, no. So now, what I'd like you to do is take out your order of worship. Come on now. And I'd like you to look at where the title is, and it says Bread of Life, Sourdough. And I'd like you to get a pen or a pencil that's around you. And I want you to make a line. I want you to scratch out sourdough. Scratch it out. It's a bad title. It's misleading. It's wrong. And what I'd like you to write in there, and what I'd like you to think about this week, is what happens when you make bread. It either rises or it what? Falls. Rise or fall. Which is it going to be for you and for me? Which is it going to be for the people around us? Are we going to seek out the good yeast and rise? Are we going to be good yeast within our lives and within the lives of others and help them rise? Or are we going to fall? Are we going to trust something other than Christ? Are we going to trust something other than the living God? Are we going to put people down and destroy them? Are we going to fall? Rise or fall? That's simple, folks. Rise or fall. Which will it be? Amen.